Keith Flaming, host of the Pipeline Show on TSN 1260 and a color analyst on the Oil Kings games, joins us. Flamer, how are you?
I'm well, fellas. I thought the nerd comment was for me from Robin, but I'm glad you directed that at Marcy.
No, I think it actually was directed at Marcy. But
it was
just
two birds with one stone.
Well, Marcy's just heard it so many times, he was a little sensitive to it, I think. Marcy, that name, wow, that's going to stick. Oh,
I can't call him that.
You can. It would just be funny. I'd never heard it before, so it made me laugh when he told us that they called him Marcy because it was with a C, not a K. First of all, I want to get into some of the you watch the prospects more than anyone around here. That is for sure. You know, this is only for the draft-eligible guys. There's people telling me, who do you like better, Marner or Dylan Strome at this point?
Well, that's a great argument because you got two different players. One's a big forward, and the other guy is a small skill guy. So, I mean, you're looking at the Patrick Kane-like guy for Mitch Marner, and oh boy, give me a big power, maybe not a power forward, but a big skilled forward. I don't know, Blake Wheeler or somebody like that. I don't know. Right now, Mitch Marner is the guy that's got everybody's attention. He's got all the buzz. 90 points in, 42 games or something like that right now. On pace for about 148 this season, which hasn't been done since Patrick Kane, who had 145. So right now, he's the flavor of the month. So I guess I'd throw my vote behind Mitch Marner as well.
Now, Strome's got 80 points. So it's not like, you know, he's chopped salad.
Yeah, no, not at all. And what I like about Dylan Strome is he was doing it without Connor McDavid. Not
Thank
that they're
you.
Line mates. They don't play together anyway. But the fact that he was then getting all the top defensive opponents from the opposition as well. So Dylan Strome, I think, certainly won a lot of people over in that, about 5 weeks that McDavid was out.
Yeah, here's the thing. We actually had a texter mention that, Guy. Well, you know, it's because of McDavid. This is a kid, I assume, in your estimation, who was just as good without McDavid. He's a number two center now. To me, this is right up the Oilers' alley, this kid.
Well, for sure. If they're looking for another big forward, big center, why wouldn't you look at a guy like Dylan Strome if you're the Oilers? He's probably got similar, if not more, offensive upside than Leon Draisaitl, and he's another big body to stick down the middle. So if that's what the Oilers are looking for, if you're telling me they want a center, who's the big skilled offensive center in the top five behind, obviously, McDavid and Eichel, then I would think Dylan Strome would probably be the next guy on the list.
Who are you most interested in watching tonight, and why?
Well, selfishly, I'm looking for the guys that I don't get to see. So the guys out of the queue, especially, a guy like Daniel Sprong. Interesting backstory with him. Born in the Netherlands. His family moved to Canada when he was about 7 or 8 just so he could continue and play in a hockey country. And he's been trying to get his Canadian citizenship, for the last little while, because he's never played internationally for anybody. It's not like he can play on a Dutch international hockey team at any kind of high level. So he's looking forward to that. So I'm curious to see how he looks, because I hear lots of great things. High-end skill, lots of talent, and unreal speed is what I'm told. So I'm curious to see Daniel Sprong. And there's another player. His name is Dennis Yan. Born in Portland, I believe, but grew up, spent a lot of time in Russia, and now plays in the queue with the Shawinigan Cataracts. So he's been all over the place, and also told that he's got a lot to bring to the table. So those are two guys in particular I want to see.
Guy, when I look at these prospects games, I always wonder where the questionable kids are, because, you know, most often the top-end kids are identified. I, for the life of me, because I don't know them, can't figure out this Lawson Kraus. What's so good about him? Because it's not in the numbers.
He's not bringing the high-end offense, but he's a guy that's very reliable. You saw the role he played for Canada at the World Junior, and to be able to do that at such a young age as effectively as he did, I think speaks volumes. But I don't think he's going to be a high-end offensive guy. He's going to be a very good complementary player, two-way guy, all those sorts of cliches, but a valuable guy in the sense that he's going to be able to kill penalties for you. He's going to be a hard guy to play against, but can chip in offensively as well. I think he's a very dependable, reliable guy, but there's a lot of split opinion on him. Some people will have him in their top five. Some people might not have him in their top 12. So he's going to be a divisive guy right up until the draft.
Yeah, to me, I don't see how you can have Lawson Kraus, who has 23 points in 30 games as a top five pick. He's a forward. I'm sorry. Like, if you can't be an elite level scorer, junior, and he might be a great two-way player and defensive and all that stuff, that's a third-line guy to me. Third-line guy. I don't see any reason why that would be somebody I'd be wasting a top 10 pick on. I just don't think you have that talent there.
He'd be behind Dylan Strome and Mitch Marner and guys like that for me, probably behind Matt Barzal as well, who's been hurt for so long, but I really like him.
Oh, yeah. Skill is something that you can't have. But what about a guy like Nick Merkley, speaking of putting up a ton of points playing in Kelowna?
Yeah. Yeah, and the argument against that would be he's playing in Kelowna, where every guy on the team can put up tons of points. But, again, I think this is a guy who is one of the catalysts for that high-powered attack that Kelowna has. And we'll see that firsthand on Wednesday when the Rockets are back in town. But there's another guy. You wonder how he looks on a stage like this, where everybody else on the team is looking to show the scouts in attendance that they're the man, and see what kind of a game he brings to the table tonight. Nick Merkley's a very talented player. I've only seen him live once, and wasn't the standout guy in the game the last time Kelowna was in town. But I imagine he's got something to show tonight.
Nick Guy Flaming joined us from the Pipeline Show. Have you heard people? Are they down on Dylan Strome's skating?
No, I can't say that I've heard that.
Yeah, I haven't heard that either. No, I have people texting in suggesting Strome's skating's an issue. I haven't heard that or seen that anywhere. People comparing him to Jonathan Toews, saying he's an excellent two-way player, which, you know, to me, it's unreal. It's like comparing Marner to Patrick Kane. Like, Patrick Kane is the best player with the puck on a stick below the blue line in the NHL. Like, I'm not sure there's a guy who dominates the play the way he does. So, you know, it's nice to have comparison, but I don't think either one of those two will turn out to be as good as those two.
Well, that's quite possible. But Mitch Marner, I just look at the points. I got to see him at the Memorial Cup last year, and on a team with Bo Horvat and Max Domi and Mike McCarron, who's another first-round pick, he was by far their best player. And I think it was largely because those guys all stunk it up last year at the Memorial Cup. They were awful. But Mitch Marner came to play every night. I was impressed with him, and he was a rookie last year. So he's the guy I'm most curious to see right now.
Guy, a name familiar to Oiler fans for a lot of reasons. Adam Uciel, interesting thing. We know the old man, big, tough, plodding defenseman. His brother, big, tough, plodding defenseman, has yet to really make a move because of the skating and the mobility. Here's a guy who's big, apparently moves really well, and unlike dad and brother, is a forward. What's your best take on Adam and where you think he projects to go?
Yeah, I like him. I think he's probably an end of the in the 25 to 35 range. I like him. I got to see him play in Red Deer a couple of times this year, and showed me something I didn't know. I didn't know he had the physical edge that he does. I thought he was a big, skilled kind of guy with some better wheels. You mentioned it. His dad and his brother, not very fleet of foot. Adam Uciel can skate, and he has good hands as well. So I think he's an end of the first round, early second round kind of guy. And unlike David Musil, if he gets taken in the early second round by the Edmonton Oilers, it's not a reach, in my mind. Adam Uciel deserves to go in that area, and if the Oilers happen to get him, there are a lot of people will be complaining about the last name, and that it's the Oilers just picking somebody that's related to the organization, kind of. But that's where I think Adam Uciel should be going.
Speaking of names connected to the organization, a guy I've watched for many years because he used to play against my nephew, Jake DeBrusque, who had a little bit of a growth spurt, now is in Swift Current, and he's going to play in a dynamic line in this game tonight. Where do you think is DeBrusque a first round possibility?
Maybe outside possibility. I think he's more of a second round guy. Okay. I have him behind Adam Uciel. But he's a good player as well. He's got lots of jump, and he plays with some physical grit. He's not a fisticuffs guy like the old man, but Jake's got some skill, and I think he's a guy to watch. I think the second half of the season could be telling. He could still burst out and force his way into the first round.
Which defenseman are you most interested in watching tonight?
Well, there's lots of guys out of the queue again, so a bunch of guys that I don't know. There's a couple that, from the Brandon Wheat Kings we know very well, in Ivan Provorov and Ryan Pilon. But the four that are their teammates on that that side, that'd be Guillaume Brisebois, Thomas Chabot, Nicolas Moloch, and Jeremy Roy. Don't know them, but they're all rated very well, so I'd like to see those guys play. And maybe, selfishly, because we know Brandon Carlo out of the WHL and played at the World Juniors for the Americans, to see what he looks like against the rest of the draft class would be interesting, because he's a big, big force on the back end for the Tri-City Americans. And one more guy, Matt Spencer, plays for the Peterborough Petes. He's doing some blogging with the Pipeline Show this year, so I'll throw him out there too.
And one guy, because, hey, we're in Sherwood Park, and he's the Sherwood Park native, playing for the Prince Albert Raiders in his second season, 6'2", 185-pounder. Now, I'm not. Is it Ghoul? How do you properly say his last name?
It's Ghoulie, Brendan Ghoulie.
It's Ghoulie. Yeah. What? You know, and that's a huge honor for any of these kids to be in this game. And
for sure.
You know, what's the straight? He's. Well, if I look just at his straight up numbers, he more of a defensive, solid defender rather than an offensive guy.
Yeah, he's probably, he'd call himself a two way guy. He's a really good skater. He's got impressive mobility to him, but he's not a guy I think that's going to quarterback the power play or anything like that. He'll start the play out of his own end and maybe jump into the rush now and then, but he's got some good size, and I think his skating is probably his best asset.
When you look at these prospects, and I know you don't know the Q guys that well, from an entertainment point of view, what kind of game are we going to see here based on the lineups?
Well, there's a lot of skill. This traditionally isn't that high of a scoring game, but I think this one could be, you know, put the over-under maybe at 7 goals tonight. I think there could be some offense in this one. So it has the potential to be a really fun game. The goaltenders are a bit of an issue as well. Callum Booth, the top-ranked netminder, or one of the top-ranked netminders, and the other one as well in Mackenzie Blackwood, neither one of them in the game tonight. So two of the best goaltenders that are eligible aren't playing. So you've got two other guys that have come in to fill in. So maybe we'll see some goals tonight.
Think we'll see a few tilts?
You never know. Steven Stamkos got one here at Edmonton his draft year. So who knows? And Curtis Lazar and Darnell Nurse decided to tie one on there a couple of years ago as well. So who knows? That's the thing. Everybody wants to show something. So it provides that opportunity for guys, and maybe you'll see the gloves come off.
Who's most prone to that given these lineups, Guy?
Oh, that's a good question. Listen, who would have thought that it would have been Steven Stamkos, right? So, it could be anybody, but I don't necessarily see a pugilist that's in the lineup. But you never know what can happen.
Guy, always good to catch up with you, man. Quickly, you watched the game. Oil Kings kind of melted down in the final 40 minutes.
Yeah, bit of a stinker at the end of it. The last 30 minutes, I thought halfway through the game that they were in control, up 3-1, looked really good. And then, I don't know what it was, there was no incident in the game that you could turn to and say that's the turning point. Just Edmonton suddenly couldn't pass, they couldn't take a pass, and Kootenay stepped up the level of their play and were able to capitalize on all the turnovers and tied it up by the end of the second period, scored twice in the third, and that's all she wrote.
Interesting. Hey, Guy, before we go, too, I don't know if you've run into Uke around the station. Has he congratulated you on the Mad Dog Vachon look you've got going with it?
No, he hasn't, but I'll expect that the next time I see him.
There you go.
Thanks, Robin.
Guy, have a good one, buddy. Enjoy the game.
All right, guys. See ya.